Bible. It doesn't just happen from the front here. It doesn't just happen from the pastoral staff. Now and again, people have a word where they believe God's led them to a passage in Scripture that's right for us all to hear. And I believe Ian's got just that word now that God's been prompting him to share, not just with one or two of us, but with all of us here this morning.
Psalm 16, verse 6 reads, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me." Sorry, in verse 5. "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." But I sense that some of us here, God has set us a boundary which is limitless, which is much, much bigger than what we're allowing and giving him the freedom to allow us to move into. It's almost as though we have got a fence out in very close to us, which is our expectation of our boundary of what God wants. And he wants to tear down that fence that you may have put up, someone else may have put up. He wants that fence to be teared down. It may be an offence that you believe that God has done against you. It may be an offence that you believe someone else has done against you. But we're living in days when God says, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." But I believe the challenge for some of us today is either to ask God to tear that fence down, that offence which limits the boundary he's got for us, or that we have to say, "God, today I choose to tear down that fence that would limit the boundary and the pleasant places that you have got for me." And it's a time for tearing down that fence. Don't let any fence stop what God wants to do in you. Don't let any fence limit the boundary and the borders of the goodness that all he wants to bring for you.
Amen. Thank you, Ian. So if you believe that was a word from the Lord for you this morning, then receive that. Let it sink deep into you and act. Believe and receive in faith that word that God's spoken to you this morning. I'm going to move on to the other microphone. Let me put that one down there. Give that away. Well, if you were here last week, you'll remember Pastor Chris was speaking about being in step with the Spirit. And we're in a number of weeks now been looking at the Holy Spirit on Sunday mornings. He's been our focus. He's been our theme. And taking that moving theme of being in step with the Spirit, I'm taking things one stage further, I guess, this morning. And we're going to look at the Holy Spirit as our director of missions. And I could have called it the Holy Spirit our power for mission, but I thought that would have depersonalised things a little bit, really. And I want to establish that right from the word go, When Jesus left the earth in bodily form, that God appointed a full-time director of mission for the early church. It wasn't Paul, although he was really involved in it. It was God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. And as we read through the Bible, we've already established in the last few weeks that when we talk about the Spirit, we know that he's God. We know that he is holy. We're discovering that he's an empowerer in our lives. He's a comforter and a presence in our lives. And this morning, we sung that line in a song just a few moments ago, that God is Lord of all the nations. And this morning, we're just going to discover that the Holy Spirit, as well as being lots of other things to us, that he's our director of missions. Holy Spirit always draws us deeper into the presence of God. So when we worship God, when we have that encounter with God, it's the Holy Spirit drawing us closer to him, giving us more awareness of God's holiness, of his majesty. But at the same time as drawing us in, he sends us out. It's a paradox, isn't it? One of the many paradoxes in the Christian life. That the closer we get through the Holy Spirit to God, the more we're challenged by him to go out and share his presence with others. And this morning, our challenge is, what is the Holy Spirit, as the director of God's mission, saying to us about going into a broken world to be witnesses of the life, the death, and the resurrection in new life of Jesus? See, when the Apostle Paul talks about receiving the Spirit, it's very much for salvation. Luke talks about being baptized in the Spirit for life and ministry, filled with the Holy Spirit in order to go out boldly, to step out boldly, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Amen. Should I do that at that time and live long and prosper? If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry. It's a Star Trek thing. Yeah, beat me up, Scotty, exactly, yeah. Should have said that to you. Yeah. So in Acts, Luke presents the Holy Spirit, if you like, an old-fashioned word, as our superintendent for mission. So we read of people like Peter and Stephen and Paul in specific situations, given Holy Spirit power and Holy Spirit words to extend the kingdom of God and to build the church and to establish the mission work of Jesus. A lot of people get hung up about this word mission. It's really from a Latin word, missio, meaning I send. So mission really just about being sent or the act of sending. So there's no big mystery about it. So whether we call ourselves a missionary or go on a mission for a week or a day or a year or the rest of our lives, it simply means we're somebody who believes that God has sent us for a purpose. That purpose is to share Jesus, is to be Jesus to people. And that mission might last a day, it might last a lifetime, it might be 5 miles down the road, it might be 5,000 miles the other side of the world. And so we read in Acts 1 verse 8, we've read these a couple of times over recent weeks, but this is the promise, it's also the challenge from Jesus, if you like. Where Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So that's the promise that Jesus has given us. It also challenges us, doesn't it, to take that promise seriously. Well, what does it mean for me on a Sunday morning to be somebody who's going to receive the Holy Spirit in my life in order to go out? Where is it God's going to send me? How am I going to be sent? How do I hear the Holy Spirit prompting me to where to go and when to go and what to do? And some people will go, and for them going will mean speaking. It will mean preaching and teaching. For others it will be just being a living witness. For some it will be just living a life that shines Jesus. For others it will be using skills and abilities and talents that God has given you. And if you're thinking this morning that the question that you should be asking is God going to send me? Well, in a way, that's the wrong question. The right question is, where's God going to send me? There's no doubt that God's going to send you somewhere. History of the Christian faith tells us that we're living in a sending community. God is a sending God. He sent his Holy Spirit, for one thing, into this world. And so the debate this morning isn't, is God going to send us from this seat? He's definitely going to do that. The question is, where is he going to send you? And when he speaks to you about going, are you going to hear and are you going to respond? If you've got your Bibles, it's helpful. If you haven't, don't worry. We're not going to have these verses up on the screen because I'm not sure how many we're going to get through. But in Acts chapter 2, the very next chapter in Acts, if you like, this isn't the promise. This is now the precedent. This is how things are always going to be. The disciples are together, and in verse 4 we read, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And that's the challenge today for those of us that are serious about responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Is how are people who haven't heard the name of Jesus, how are people who don't know who Jesus is, who've never had that encounter with him, how are they going to hear Jesus in their own language? in words that they understand, in actions that relate to them. When I go to India in 8 days or so, I'm going to be preaching in English. Hardly anybody is going to be understanding me in English. You're saying to yourself, nothing much has changed then. Unless somebody translates beside me into Telugu, then the people I'm speaking to can't hear, because they need to hear in their own language. There are people down your street, in your office, perhaps even in your family, who need to hear Jesus in their own language, in a way that culturally connects with them without compromising anything of the majesty and the glory and the uniqueness of Christ. But that's our precedent, communicating, connecting with people in ways that they understand. And within days of this incredible Holy Spirit encounter at Pentecost, a bunch of confused, uncertain, fearful disciples have suddenly become world changers. Essentially, they're the same people. But now, the Holy Spirit is present in their lives, and he's giving them direction, and he's giving them purpose, and he's giving them power. And that's so crucial. So we discover that people like Andrew preached in Georgia and Bulgaria, was seen as the first home missionary, the first overseas missionary. That James, the brother of John, preached in Judea. John was banished to Patmos, where he wrote his gospel. Thaddeus preached to all of Mesopotamia. Matthew stayed put, wrote his gospel in Hebrew, had it published in Jerusalem. Nathaniel preached in India. Philip preached in eastern Turkey. I could go on and on and on. But suddenly the Holy Spirit takes hold of a bunch of ordinary people, prompts them, directs them, and off they go. To witness in first century life was not easy. We are living in difficult times. We're not living in anywhere near as difficult times as some Christians in the world. But in the first century, if you were serious about sharing your faith with Jesus, then persecution and hardship, perhaps even death, went with that commitment. So when we read these stories and we see people being prompted by the Holy Spirit and sharing their faith in Jesus, they didn't do that lightly. Let's have a look and see the type of things that the Holy Spirit gets up to and the type of inspiration that he gives people. In Acts chapter 8, there's this incredible story of Philip prompted to speak to an Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter 8, we read 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And the passage goes on to say that he was reading a passage from the book of Isaiah. And then we read this, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now we don't know there whether those were audible words or whether that was a prompting of spirit in the Spirit in Philip's mind. We don't know what that was. But I do know this. Unless you're in step with the Spirit, as Pastor Chris was using that phrase last week, you might very well miss the Spirit's prompting in your life. We live in a busy, noisy world. Pastor Chris was saying that most men are either bored or busy. I leant over to Pastor Steve and said, how about bored of being busy? We live in that world, don't we, where sometimes, unless we deliberately say, Holy Spirit, I want to listen to you, which means I'm going to cut other things out, we might never hear the prompting of God in our lives. And Philip hears this. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I unless somebody explains it to me? See, what I like about this passage is that the Holy Spirit has a tendency of putting believers in situations where their expertise and their experience can be used. What was the expertise and experience that Philip had here? He understood the scripture. This would have been a bit of an embarrassing story if Philip had leant over and said, oh yeah, that is a tough passage. I haven't done that in Bible study yet. I better get back to you about that one. I'll go and get a book out of the library on Isaiah and see what I can discover. See, Philip knew that passage. That's not coincident or accident. That's the Holy Spirit at work. And I talk a lot with young people about building a toolkit of spiritual expertise, experience, whatever you want. Jill and I were away for a few days this week and we heard on the radio, you might have listened to it, a little item about men's toolkits at home. And they had people phoning and it was a phone-in show and you had to phone in to say what you'd got in your toolkit. And more than one occasion, men would ring in and say, I've got this and this and this and this and this in my toolkit. And in the background, you'd hear the wife saying, yeah, but he never uses it. Now, I've got quite an impressive toolkit now, thanks to my dad helping me. The difference between his toolkit and my toolkit is, his gets used, he knows what to do with it. Mine just sits there in pristine condition. Occasionally a screwdriver comes out. And I say all that because sometimes I think we expect God to use us in situations where we've got nothing to bring to the table, where we haven't got anything that we've invested into kingdom stuff. That's why things like Kingdom Academy are so important, and other things where we can build a toolkit that the Holy Spirit can draw from. But others of us, we've got a bulging toolkit of Christian experience and we never use it. It just sits there unopened. And that's such a waste. Because the Holy Spirit is whispering in your ear and wanting to direct you to places where the tools in your kit are going to get used. Just like Philip here. And then almost as quickly as this story happens, verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again. This is a bit of a one-off opportunity. And sometimes the Holy Spirit in our mission life will do that. He'll give you a one-off opportunity. And if you don't take it, it may never come again. You might be the only person to speak words of Jesus into that person's life. To take that opportunity. If you're too busy, you might miss it. I was saying that I'm going off to India in 8 days' time on a mission team. So I asked Pastor Prasad, our friend in India, to send us a greeting this morning. And it's going to come up on the screen now. I think. Here we are. There's Pastor Prasad. This is what he says. My hearty greetings to all the wonderful people in City Temple Church in Cardiff. Gateway Ministry in India was so blessed for the connecting of the saints in City Temple. Your encouragement, prayers and the support for soul winning is such a blessing to us. I like this next sentence especially. My special greetings to the man of God, Reverend Chris, who leads us into the great spiritual lives. Say what you like about Pastor Chris Cartwright. He leads us into the great spiritual lives. That's great. That should be your tagline, Chris, I think, on all your publicity. The connection of City Temple and Ignite is wonderful and amazing work of Holy Spirit. I am having passion to give the word of God to the people who are dying without him. And the Holy Spirit made a kingdom connection to save the youth and many people through you all. And you know what? We believe that that relationship that we've got with Pastor Prasad is a breakthrough relationship, if you like. From one simple email and telephone conversation. And suddenly we have this incredible kingdom mission relationship together. Look at Acts 10, 19 to 20. You can leave that picture up there for the moment. So we move from the first convert through Philip in the Acts of the Apostles being an Ethiopian eunuch. That's unlikely in itself, isn't it, if you think of the history of the church. And suddenly we've got this breakthrough relationship again now in chapter 10, where Peter is prompted by the Spirit to go with Cornelius' servants. And because of that, the Jewish Christians begin reaching out to the Gentiles. Look at verse 19 and 20. When Peter was still thinking about the vision, he had this incredible vision and he wasn't sure what it meant. The Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I've sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? And then at the end of that story in verse 44, when Peter is at Cornelius' house, we read these words. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. See, Peter wasn't completely certain of what was going on. He'd had a vision. He'd felt prompted by God. But he was obedient. even uncertain of what the future was going to hold. Even seemed going against culturally what he knew. But he was determined to be obedient. I think of Pam Davis and Shikala, who were on the mission trip with some of us last year to India. Shikala saying time and time again, I'm never going to go back to India. I was born there, I've lived there. That's it, that part of my life is gone. Holy Spirit had other plans for her. I think of Pam. Naturally, the last place on earth you would have found Pam Davis, with the greatest respects, would have been in India. And I've got this image in my mind of the two of them sitting on a little bunk bed on an overnight train with their little bag of crisps and sweets and whatever, looking just astonished and thinking to themselves, what are we doing here? Why are we here? But because of their obedience and their faithfulness and their willingness to listen to the Holy Spirit in their lives, they become part of an incredible adventure. I think of them ministering all day long to pastors' wives and building and encouraging those women of God in that city there in Rajahmundry. I'm heading out in a week or so's time, and I'm taking with me some American friends. If you want to put the next slide up very quickly. Well, there's the school, actually. Let's look at that. There's the Gateway School. Probably about, I don't know, £1,000-£1,500 from finishing that off now. Hopefully by the time I'm there, those walls will be finished, the roof will be on, and we're a matter of weeks and months away from that school opening. And already Pastor Prasad's wife and his brother's wife are doing their master's degrees in education in order to be the first two teachers at the school. So we're really incredibly excited about that. And I know Jill and the other ladies that are involved in the fundraising for this are still working hard on it. But so that's a vision that's come to life really because a number of people have just been obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I'm heading off there in 8 days' time. You can move on to the next slide now, with Pastor Ben Gates from Fort Wayne in Indiana. Ben led a mission team to Cardiff about 2-3 years ago, spoke at a presence service. And he's a student pastor at a big, big metropolitan university in Fort Wayne in Indiana. And every year, instead of students going off on spring break and getting drunk and partying all over America on the beaches, he takes a team of students overseas on a mission trip somewhere. This year he's doing it twice. So they're already in Naples in Italy back in March, April time. And they're in India with me. 13th trip that he's taken. And I love that phrase there in the middle. I take teams overseas because it's on the global mission field that students can see with clarity what God is doing in their hearts. And can also see with clarity the global nature of the body of Christ. We've trusted the Lord to show us by His Spirit where to take our students on these trips. And His Spirit has always been faithful to open the doors for us very clearly. And if you jump into Acts chapter 13, we see, if you like, the first long-term missionaries, the first most authentic missionary journey, a crucial event in history where the church in Antioch set apart two men. Read from verse 2. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Cilicia and sailed from there to Cyprus. It's a lovely picture there, being sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. If you've ever sent anybody off on holiday or onto a mission trip or whatever, where you're standing there waving them goodbye and off they go, there's this picture there of the Holy Spirit sort of standing there and waving them goodbye, except it doesn't really work because he's going with them. So he's both waving them goodbye and walking along their side, one at a time, sending them on their way. And there's a real confidence and authority knowing that you're not going out in your own steam. You're being sent by the Holy Spirit. Those of you who are used to travelling will know that. And we have a number of long-term missionaries from this church. We have Phil and Linda in Turkey, who've been set apart by Elim International Missions, by this church, to go and serve on the mission field overseas. We've got a growing friendship with Alison Sutherland and her ministry in Tanzania. Mel Price, just a few weeks ago, sharing that she's moving now to Malawi to be part of a mission team there. Now, for some people, you won't be caught up in the one-off opportunity or even the week-long trip. You're going to know what it's like to respond to God and give all of your life to the mission field. I've had some long-term friends, an American couple, who've just emailed me to say that they're in their late 50s and they feel they've got one last missionary journey in them. They were based in the UK for 10 years working with Campus Crusade for Christ. Then they went to work in the old Soviet Union, in some of the old Soviet countries, reaching unreached people. They've been there for 12 years. They've been back in America for a while, and they're now responding to the Holy Spirit's call to go to Jerusalem, to be based in Israel, and to be there for the rest of their days, really. And some of you are going to be people like that, who the Holy Spirit will be prompting you, and you know that you're going to give your all and your life into another country. And then Pastor Chris touched on this passage last week, Acts chapter 16, Paul's vision of the man of Macedonia. And this is an interesting passage because the Holy Spirit doesn't just prompt Paul and his team where to go, he prompts them where not to go. Acts 16 verse 6, Paul and his companions travelled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. And then Paul has a vision of a man in Macedonia asking, come over here and help us, and off they go. It's as if they've been doing good things that are fine, but they're not the things that the Holy Spirit wanted them to do. So he prevents them from doing that. It's almost like a border guard at the border saying, you can't come in here, you haven't got the right papers, you've got to go there. And off they go in a different direction. It's no exaggeration to say that the Western Church, us here, we wouldn't be here today had Paul and his team not been obedient to that call. And sometimes we might get frustrated and we might think that's the direction we want to go. That's the plan. And the Holy Spirit will have other ideas for us. And so we need to be listening and not be afraid to say, okay, we thought that was a good idea, but this is God's idea. Let me tell you a quick story. Put the next slide up for us if you can. This is a man called Emmanuel and his wife Winty. They live in Monrovia in Liberia. And 4 or 5 years ago, Emmanuel spent the time in Wales studying and qualifying to be a pastor. In fact, he was on the same study course as Di Hanke. Many of you will know Di Hanke. They didn't even realise that until a few weeks ago. And over the last couple of years, those of us at Ignite have been partnering with Emmanuel and his wife to reach out to young people in Liberia, a country that's still recovering from a long-term civil war. And we had a plan to get Emmanuel over to the Ignite Hope weekend a month ago. We put all the papers in the application forms to the British Embassy. We sent him money over to help him deal with all that. And we found out that he actually had to go to Sierra Leone to get his visa. There's no official embassy in Liberia. So he had to travel hundreds of miles to Sierra Leone. And he got there after 3 or 4 days. He phoned me to say, I still haven't got a meeting with the embassy. My money's running out. I'm staying with a pastor. But, you know, pray for me. Don't know what's going to happen. Another 2 or 3 days, we got an email to say, I've been to the embassy and they've turned down my visa application. Doesn't look like I'm going to be able to come to Wales. So we were disappointed. We thought, why? This can't be right. This is surely part of God's plan to get him here. We've sent in the money. Nothing seemed to be going right. We said, have one more go. We put some more applications in. Nothing happened. And then he emailed me to say, I'm staying with a man called Pastor Daniel. Pastor Daniel has heard what we're doing with Ignite in Monrovia. Pastor Daniel is so desperate to reach young people in Freetown, Sierra Leone. He's asking, could he possibly use your Ignite resources and set up Ignite in Sierra Leone? So after a long period of prayer and meditation that lasted about 30 seconds, I said, of course he could. The next email that I had back from Emmanuel was to say that they'd launched with about 100 young people in Freetown, and actually in that meeting 3 or 4 Muslim young people came in. And as Pastor Daniel was preaching at the front and building up the believers, Emmanuel was at the back sharing Jesus with the 3 or 4 Muslim guys. I had an email from Pastor Daniel just this last week to say he and a team of young people have taken it upon themselves to meet and to pray for and to witness to Muslim young people as they come out of the mosques in Freetown, Sierra Leone. And so just tomorrow we're sending off some Ignite cards. If you want to put the next slide up, That's our Ignite Africa card. We're working in Kenya as well. So that's the Liberian flag, the Sierra Leonean flag, the Kenyan flag. And we're sending, on the other side, you can't see it, but it's our Ignite Declaration, this statement of Christian living, of Christian discipleship. And just really because young men and women in those countries have been obedient to the Holy Spirit, and we felt we've been obedient as well. Let's move to our final verses, our challenge for us this morning. Paul knows that he's on a journey. Paul knows that his journey is going to take him back to Jerusalem, but eventually he knows he's going to be compelled to go to Rome. I must go to Rome, he says. Not because he hasn't been there, not because he fancies a holiday in the sun, but because he knows the Holy Spirit is leading him. And so towards the end of this journey now, Paul's nearing the end of his final journey, he says this, now compelled by the Spirit. Other translations say inspired by, others say bound up by the Spirit. Compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And Paul's final words in Acts of the Apostles, he's in Rome. He's under house arrest. He's living the life of a Christian. He's preaching the good news of Jesus. And he's welcoming all to him who want to hear that and want to receive that. You know, God has a habit of introducing lost people and bringing them into God's family by using human mouths, human hands, human lives. And simply at the end of this service this morning, just before we prayed, Richard prayed and used this word commissioning. And I just wonder this morning whether there's people whose hearts are ready to say, Holy Spirit, Director of Mission, I'm ready to be commissioned by you to go. I don't know where that's going to be. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even know what I'm going to say. But I know it's going to be part of your plans. And I know that I'm ready. Holy Spirit, would you direct me, my paths, my words, my life? If that's you this morning, I wonder whether you just stand right where you are. And we're going to pray. The way that I phrased this in first service was that who'd like to be a part of Acts chapter 29? The Holy Spirit's mission trips haven't finished. They're still going on. We're not signing you up for teams. We're not sending you off to an organisation. This is just a heart thing right now. Say, Holy Spirit, would you direct me? Holy Spirit, we welcome you and thank you, Jesus, that you speak into our lives. We pray right now that we would receive your direction. We would receive your inspiration. Holy Spirit, would you be our power, our source, our strength? And for some of us, Lord, we want you to send us back into our families, into our streets, into our places of work. And for others, Lord, we know that you're calling us and prompting us and sending us to the streets of Cardiff. But Father, we know that this morning you're prompting some of us and your Holy Spirit voice in our ear is saying, go to the nations. And so, Father, would we receive from you right now? Take us into a deeper place. Draw us closer to you. Draw us in so that we may go out. We want to share Jesus with those around us. We want to share Jesus to the ends of the earth. And we're willing to be directed by you, Holy Spirit, no matter what. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? In closing, let's say the grace. This is just a simple prayer of blessing that we say together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you this morning. It's been great to be together. In the foyer right now, there are some refreshments. Parents, if you will get your children promptly. And look forward to seeing many of you tonight at our baptism service or in later services today. Have a great week. Let's take some of this that we've been receiving and singing and saying today and let it be with us in our workplaces today, this week, in the community, in the neighborhood, in the home, in the family, college, uni, school. Bless you.
God in my hope, there in my dream.